Two nights ago, I had the opportunity to interview Ambassador Michael Oren about his new book. In the main hall of the Nixon Library. And putting the book aside, I thought there was something interesting about the venue. Anybody who has looked over any of the records of the conversations of Richard Nixon knows that he had no great affection for Jews. He said some nasty things. But he was an extraordinarily effective and reliable friend of Israel. And behind that contradiction is something very important for us to remember, especially today. And it has to do with the way America, not always American, but America feels about Jews. Last week, along with a few of you who are sitting here in the congregation, I was in Argentina. Argentina is a beautiful country and has, as you may know, the largest population of Jews in Latin America. But I want to relate to you a couple of experiences that highlight the difference between a place like Argentina, which after all is relatively hospitable to Jews, or it wouldn't have the largest population of Jews in Latin America, and the United States. First of all, when you take the Jewish tour of Argentina, one place that you will absolutely go is what remains of the Israeli embassy that was bombed in 1994, killing 85 people. The reason you go there, of course, is that it is an integral part of the story of the Jews of Argentina. And even though some of the people who were killed were not Jews, and even though the bombing can be traced back to a power outside of Argentina, I'll give you three guesses which country. But even though part of it is obviously traceable to Iran and its influence on Argentina, it is still central to the story of Argentinian Jews that this catastrophe happened. And I begin to think back of Jewish tours that I have taken of other countries. And when you take a Jewish tour of almost any country, it involves the site of a disaster. Just think about it. This is where we were expelled, killed, tortured, forcibly converted, something. Now, I'm not saying that bad things never happened to Jews in America. I suppose if you took the Jewish tour of the South, you would go to where the site of Leo Frank's persecution and death. But when you take the Jewish tour of America, you don't go to a site of a disaster. You go to Ellis Island. You go to New York. You go to the synagogues. Because the story of Jews in America has no single blight, no terrible central catastrophe that is the story of the Jews in America, because remember, any central event says something not only about that event, but about all the things that preceded it and followed it. When you tell the story, for example, of the anti-Semitism of certain American presidents, it is to show that ultimately the anti-Semitism was either not effective or was countermanded. So when Ulysses Grant issued his famous general order, saying that Jews had to leave the territory under his control, it was immediately and decisively countermanded by Abraham Lincoln. And Grant later retracted and apologized for it. The other thing we did in Argentina was we sat with many Jews. We went to a Moshe house. If you don't know what a Moshe house is, it's an absolutely wonderful invention. We have them right here. There are some right down the street and elsewhere around the United States and the world. A Moshe house is a place where you get four, five, six Jewish students in their 20s to live together, and they promise a certain amount of Jewish programming in the house in return for the ability to live rent-free. So they put on Shabbat dinners and dances and other things, and it's all programmed by the four or five or six kids who live in the house. I know about them primarily because my niece, who is now in rabbinical school, lived in a Moshe house. And when you talk to the kids, to the young men and women of Buenos Aires, they are extraordinarily gifted. We were amazed by the poise and the knowledge and the commitment of these young people. It was heartening and beautiful until you asked them a single fatal question. Do you want to stay in Argentina? And the answer almost unanimously was no. We want to go to Europe, we want to go to Israel, we want to go to the United States. And the reason you got that answer was partly economic, but primarily Jewish. Several of them had been to Israel, and they had experienced the liberating feeling of being Jewish in a Jewish country, and they wanted to go back. And that sense, too. What do we talk about? Sometimes it's true. I get parents who say, oh my God, my kid wants to make Aliyah. But usually what you get is, oh my God, my kid wants to go to New York. That's what you get. You don't say, oh my God, all our kids are leaving for Argentina. Or there's a mass migration from Sinai to Paris. You don't get that. And we sat at a table with a very successful and polished couple. He's a banker. She's a lawyer. They have three children, two of whom are already in New York. And he said wistfully, he said, you know the difference between you and me? He said, your grandparents went north and my grandparents went south. And he's right. We're from the same countries. They went south, we went north. So we ended up in the United States and he ended up in Argentina. But now his children, I don't want to overstate it, but I will put it this way, are correcting that geographical mistake. But of course, part of that is very sad because Argentina is a beautiful country with a rich heritage, and it's sad to see that it can't coexist with its population. And of course, there were those who defended the possibilities of the Jews in Argentina, and I hope that they're right. I hope that there is a future for the Jewish community in Argentina, just as we all hope, whatever our skepticism, we all hope that there is a future for Jews in Europe. But we all know that there's a future for Jews in the United States. Do we ever worry about it? Of course, but let me tell you why we worry about it. We worry about it because we're Jews. And that's what Jews do. If you don't worry, then you will. I don't know how else to put it. Of course we worry. There are always things to worry about. It's the famous Jewish telegram. Start worrying, details to follow. And so, of course, we worry about the United States, but let me tell you, it's not the same as worry in almost any other country. It's just not. And this was brought home to me again on the very day that the Supreme Court voted in favor of same-sex marriage. There were bombings in Kuwait, in Lyon, a beheading. In Iraq. And I thought to myself, in a nutshell, whatever you think of the Supreme Court decision, in a nutshell, here is the difference in principle between America and most of the world. America's fundamental principle is inclusion. Give me your tired, your poor, your wretched refuse. You know what wretched refuse are? It's the people that no one else wants. That's what wretched refuse is. Refuse, in English, is what you throw out. It's a synonym for trash. But that's what's on our Statue of Liberty, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore, written by a Jewish poet, Emma Lazarus. That's what America stands for. The people that you don't want, the other, the different one, that's who we all are. There is no single ethnic group that can say, we're the real Americans. The closest you can come are the Native Americans. And sadly, in American history, they're probably the ones, with the exception, of course, of those who were brought over here as slaves, that have been most mistreated. But immigrants, those who came here voluntarily, those who came here out of hopes and out of dreams, in other words, all of us, everybody sitting here this morning, what an extraordinary place we landed. What an unprecedented blessing in human history. And if you want to feel that blessing, the best way to feel it is to go to another country. Even a country where you can travel and walk around with a kippah, as I did many of the times that we were walking around Argentina and nobody batted an eye, but even there, you feel the difference. It's not the same. Those of you who are immigrants yourself, this is, I know, burned into your bones. You feel it all through your body. But for those of us who grew up here and whose parents grew up here and whose grandparents grew up here, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that the world is not America. And sadly, America can't always influence the world. Sometimes when you hear Americans talk about America, if you have any sense of embarrassment, you can get a little embarrassed. We're so great, we're so wonderful, we're such a superpower. And part of me always wants to say, you know, we do a lot of things wrong. And we do. And we've committed sins and crimes and been involved in wars we probably shouldn't be involved in and conducted them in ways we probably shouldn't have. In other words, America is human. And a great power will never be a perfect power. But then you visit another country. And you realize how extraordinary it is that there is a nation built on the idea that no single group is the dominant group of that nation, that we are a patchwork of minorities put together to be free. That the fundamental idea of freedom and acceptance itself is the nation, as opposed to the fundamental idea of Germanness or Frenchness or this religion or that religion. Instead, the idea is everyone together making contributions, being free, having a system that maximizes the ability of the country to absorb those who want to come here and create. There has never been, and still to this day is not, any other country in the history of the world that was built that way, that had that idea, that would put a Statue of Liberty in its harbor to say, welcome, immigrants and refugees. That's what we stand for. If you were inventing a country, that's not what you would invent, because you would think the result would be chaos. And sometimes it is. Because you would think that those who are already here want to shut the door behind them. And sometimes we do. But again and again and again, we have proved the last best hope of humanity. And so, when there is a terrible crisis anywhere in the world, sooner or later, somebody is going to say, so America, what are you going to do about this? And all the people who want America's foot off their neck, as soon as someone else's foot is on their neck, they say, America, help us, you're America. And on July 4th, especially as Jews, but really as Americans, you have to be ignorant of history not to be grateful and not to be patriotic. I know that there are all sorts of reservations and difficulties and problems and fights that Americans have with each other. When I asked at the Reagan Library a couple nights ago, why do people belong to one party and not another, and I won't identify which party I said, the first answer that got called out from the audience is, because they're stupid. And I said, no, that's not a really good answer. But the point is, yes, our fights, they get nasty sometimes. They do. But in the end, we really do inherit a common legacy. And over time, the symbols of divisiveness and hatred, even if it takes a long time, like the Confederate flag, eventually they will disappear. Because the deeper promise of America is a triumphant promise, is a promise that we really do believe eventually will sweep across the world. That human beings are born to be free, that God meant them to be free, that it is an unalienable right. And that America leads the way. So now I want to circle back to the question I asked at the beginning, which is, as Jews, we should realize that that ideal was an ideal that we first enunciated to the world. We were the ones who gave the world a book that said that every human being is created in the image of God. We were the ones that gave the world a book that said the human being was created before religion was created. Adam isn't Jewish. Noah isn't Jewish. Jewish doesn't come till Abraham, because being a person comes before the kind of person you are. And that notion that therefore we can have a country made of people, even if they're of different races, religions, creeds, whatever they are, that we can have a country of one because fundamentally people are people. That comes straight from the Torah. And it may be no surprise to you that our founding fathers sometimes knew the Torah better than a lot of the people who quote it. So on this day, you don't have to have any split in your soul. You don't have to have any reservations. You can thank America fully as a human being and as a Jew, and feel that ultimately they are one, and even those people who have personal prejudices, when it comes to the nation of America, they recognize how integral Jews and Judaism have been to this country. It was true from the very first letter that Washington wrote to the Newport congregation until this day, when Jews walk the halls of power, sit on the Supreme Court, and nobody thinks it is strange. The only thing that's strange, the only thing that is almost unfathomable, is this nation. That it was born the way it was born, grew the way it grew, and has become, for the Jewish people, the greatest blessing, along with the modern state of Israel, maybe in our history since the times of the Torah. And we get to be here and celebrate. So tonight, when you see those fireworks, say a blessing. Realize that they light up a land unique in the history of humanity. And as Jews, we have to all say, God bless America. Please rise for America the Beautiful.